Do your best Rick impression.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're watching this. My name's Tristan from Grapple Max, and today I'm joined with Dave Weston from Black Country Jiu-Jitsu. And here to talk about the upcoming matches on our event in July the 20th at the Theatre 7 in Shrewsbury. Now, I think we've done really well, to be honest.
I think you've done really well with that intro. Very impressed.
Trying to be my best strong impression.
It's almost like you knew what to say.
Watching him do it over and over again, isn't it? So the matchups, I think, for an opening card, for a first show, I think we've got some of the best matchups we could have got.
Yeah, I agree.
We have got a couple we're going to go through, but just like to say for the athletes as well, it's going to be an amazing show. You know, we've got our sponsors looking after you. We've got the show, you know, running in a really good venue at the Theatre 7. And it's gonna be mega. It's going to be really loud. Hopefully sell out. And, just keep going onwards and upwards, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Shows. I think as a first show, what it's shaping up to be is incredible. And probably way bigger than even yourself might have envisioned at first.
Yeah.
And it seems to be snowballing. The matches we're looking at in front of us are incredible. Venue looks incredible, and the sponsors are something else. So everything coming up together, I think you're doing a great
job.
Starting
to get into it, isn't it? Right, so the first match we're going to go through, probably the main event, the best match, Oscar Svels versus Mark McQueen.
Yeah, this is a big one. I think this is the biggest match on the card, not just physically, two massive blokes. But considering there's history there with Oscar came out on top against Mark McQueen at Trials, as you know, September last year. It was interesting match. I think Mark McQueen, very heavy, very dominant, body lock passing. Mm. And it was when he overcommitted over the top and let Oscar elevate him underneath, and Oscar caught him.
It's dangerous once you get out the backside as a leg locker, isn't it?
It is, and that's what you've got to be careful of. I think you're going to see the exact same match again, which isn't a bad thing at all. But there's going to be,
I think the main thing depends if Mark can put him down, like chest to chest.
Yes.
I think that kills a lot of Oscar's game.
You saw Oscar was willing to wrestle with him a little bit in the first one, and I think that was purely because of the ADCC rule set where there's no points scored in the first half. I think, but Mark made it very clear he was dominant, and in fact it went to the floor with a snap down that was just ridiculous, sent Oscar rolling around the mats. It wouldn't surprise me if Oscar comes out and pulls guard straight away for this one, being the Polaris rule set with the three rounds, so you've got 3 minutes to win that first round.
And it would be its safest option, wouldn't it?
It's going to be. So if he comes out and tries to wrestle a bit, he could end up losing that first round. I think it would make more sense for him to pull guard, but not to say that I've seen Oscar wrestle, although he can wrestle.
But as a smaller guy, physically you wouldn't be wanting to wrestle with him, especially because he's a powerlifting champion. You know, he's one of the strongest guys in that division, I think.
I agree. I think I wouldn't wrestle with Mark McQueen, that's for sure, but Oscar's...
Do you wrestle with anyone?
70-kilogram guys, yeah. It's probably not, no, they're too fast. Oscar's a different breed, though. Oscar's willing for... He likes a challenge. If I sit here and say Oscar would never wrestle Mark McGreen, you can almost guarantee he's going to come out and wrestle with him. So it's going to be super exciting.
And just on a side note, what is Mark's chance of winning ADCC, in your opinion?
Chance? I mean, he's got a chance at that weight category. It can come down to power, strength, positioning, and he's got all of those things. Obviously, it's going to be a massive uphill task. Of course, it is. The talent there is ridiculous, but you can't say he doesn't have a chance. He's in it. And I've seen him come up throughout the past few years is incredible. I think he's been training like 5 years now, 6 years, which is half the time I've trained, and he's just an absolute, absolute brute of a human being.
Definitely two talents we got on the card.
100%.
Definitely a fight of the night. If it goes all to plan, that'd be the best one. Following on from that, we do have, going down a little bit of a weight, Jay Butler versus Marcos Estima.
Wait, you've got to pick a winner.
Oh.
You've got to pick a winner?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, because I don't want him to beat me up. Mark McQueen by arm triangle. That's my prediction. Mystic Mac.
See, I don't like giving. I like both these guys, and in fact, to get along with Oscar very well. So I don't want to doubt either of them. But
no, definitely not.
Judging, I think Mark McQueen was winning the first one up until he got caught. I think it'll be harder to catch him again. I think he's learned from his lessons, and as I said, he's getting very good, very fast. So I too am going to have to go with Mark McQueen, sadly.
And do you have a chance against both of them?
Oh, I'd smash both, yeah, easy.
Sounds good. So following on from that, Jay Butler versus Marcos Estima. Can we pull that up? So this is actually a very interesting fight. Jay Butler's second degree black belt, always on the podium, IGP-JGF, and he's got his own academy as well. But Marcos Estima, as you know, probably comes from one of the most talented families in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you want to talk pedigree. I mean, the last name Estima will do it for you. unbelievable. To imagine the amount of time he spent on the mats with them too.
Yeah, it's unreal.
It is unreal.
And you can't get any better coaching from two of the best in the...
I'd agree. Arguably, Braulio's, top three, top four Nogi guys in history.
Oh, 100%.
Without a doubt. What he's done on his ADCC runs and all the rest of it, especially from the weight category he did it from, was unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Now, I know Jay Butler's more of a guard player a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Estima, though. I know Estima's fast. I've seen him before. He's been on...
I've seen a lot of training footage. I haven't seen a lot of competition footage.
He was on the Euros podium, I think back in 2021. Yeah. But he's definitely at that level. But does Jay Butler have too much experience at that grade?
Yeah, so obviously Jay Butler, I would have said, has competed a lot more. So he's going to, you'd imagine, be more comfortable in the setting. But that doesn't make it all. It's very interesting to see how this one comes out.
If it went to the distance, do you think age plays a factor?
Experience could play to a factor. Again, it's the Polaris rule set, isn't it? It's three rounds. So there is going to be a bit of tactical use of energy and all the rest of it. Jay Butler might have that cool, calm head, you'll know, to win a couple of rounds and chill out. So that might favour him. But again, Marcos Estima coming from such a pedigree. He's going to have good guys in his corner. He's going to be very aware of what he needs to do. So,
and I'm sure if he's training for this now, he's going to train properly. And he's got, like you said, the caliber of training partners and coaches under him. He might even see Braulio there. And
You can only hope. Yeah,
that'd be good.
You're going to see somebody good in his corner. That's for sure.
I think when we announced this, there was a lot of hype behind it as well, which is ideal.
And I don't blame them, because Jay Butler's got a huge following. Gym owner in himself, and it. I know he's very highly thought of, so this is going to be two fan favourites getting after it by the looks of it.
What's your prediction?
Prediction, I'm going to go with the experienced head with Jay Butler. I've seen a lot more of his competition footage. I'm going to back Jay Butler on this one.
I think I'll have to agree with you. It's very close, but I think experience plays a factor a lot.
Is that especially you going against Gracie Barra team, mate?
I love Gracie Barra, but Jay Butler's definitely got the pedigree to beat someone like Estima, just with experience. I think slow him down, catch him, probably with something he's not seen before. But it's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Can't wait for that one.
And next one, another Gracie Barra guy, Reese Price versus Rav.
So this is Gracie Barra versus ex-Gracie Barra as well, this one, isn't it?
Is he ex-Gracie Barra?
I believe so, yeah. I think I know Rav from... back in the day. I'm sure he used to train at GB Nottingham with them boys up there. Great match.
So Reese Price is, I think, Masters 1, and he's always on the podium at IBJJF.
Well, I believe I see him. I know he competes Masters 1 in the Gi, but I'm pretty sure he's still competing adult.
He's probably adult,
because I see a lot of his highlights and stuff still. Reese Price, funny, because I know Reese Price from way back when I started as being the only guy who knew how to heel hook anybody at Gracie Barra. And it was quite a funny thing, because with the old school IBJJF rules, nobody knew this kind of stuff. And Reese just had his wizardry, and everybody just no idea what Reese is doing. Obviously, paid dividends. Come fast forward, and now it's allowed in the adult divisions, IBJJF, and all the leg lock stuff. He was way ahead of everybody else.
I think when you look at his highlights as well, he's very technical, yep, calm, collected, knows where he wants to be, sort of thing.
Yeah. Very, very good guard player.
But how does that play against someone like Rav?
Rav, yeah, I've seen a lot of footage of Rav as well, and he's explosive, dynamic. Again, very tidy movements, really tidy movements. It's going to make for an interesting battle. I imagine Reese will still be pulling to the guard position fast. Where it goes from there is anybody's guess.
Yeah. And with Rav as well, obviously you see all his training footage and he does all the videos very well on social media, but he's also entered Naga probably a couple of months ago and he won gold in the expert division. So you can tell he's got the skills to...
There's no surprise there.
...to progress.
I know he's he does a lot of training with Shane Curtis and at Nottingham MMA and stuff, and I see bits of that, and he's very, very tidy. Very tidy.
I imagine Rav's going to be on top as well.
I imagine he'll be on top just because I imagine Reese will force the bottom position.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting, that match. It's not like you can't pick it, can you?
I think if I had to pick a winner, I'm going to go with Rav just for the... it's going to be close, but I think he's just going to have the upper hand with the speed, dynamic movements. I think he'll be all over him. I could almost guarantee this one's going to end in a submission, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think... my bet's with Reese Price. I think if you can get him into like a leg lock position, hold him down, slow him down, get him to a point where he's not really seen it before. Because as much as being good is, you need experience as well. Experience to get out of those positions as well. So I think Reese Price might take it. But exciting match. And yeah, when that one got announced as well, a lot of hype from GB. Yeah. And it's always nice to see teams against teams as well. The support that these guys get is... incredible.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. And another great match. And following on from that, my favourite one, Dave versus Josh.
Oh, are we tackling this one already?
Now, if you don't know, Josh is probably like bigger than you.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Nah. I've actually fought Josh in the gi, and
how did that go?
Yeah, I broke my knee. He's still got my knee. But very, very strong.
Yes, without a doubt. He's definitely bigger than me.
On the picture, he is.
On the picture, he looks massive compared to me.
How do you envision this going?
I've definitely got a bigger head. I envision it's another classic guard player versus top player situation. I think Josh had a good win against Oscar, obviously mentioned before. Oscar did get in on the legs, didn't manage to finish him, which just led to Josh gaining a very heavy top position and smushing the life out of him. I think it's very obvious what Josh's skill set is. I think stopping it is a different thing altogether. But to beat somebody like that, you have to be dynamic, moving around, don't settle. And I think I've got the exact tools to do that.
Josh has obviously been, European champion at Brown Belt. Yeah. He's been on, obviously, Grapple Fest, some of the biggest stages in the country. Do you think you're going to surprise him with anything? Or do you think it's just super close?
I don't think I'll surprise him with anything. I think he's obviously taking it very serious. I've had a bit of back and forth on Instagram, and he's obviously taking it very serious, which is nice to see. I think he showed a little bit of lack of knowledge in the leg entanglement against Oscar. I don't think that's going to be the case come July. I think he will fix that. Anybody who takes it serious is going to figure out these issues. So I think he's going to be savvy on the leg locks. I think he's going to struggle with my movement. I think everybody does the second I move. I attack fast and you've got about a minute to figure it out. Otherwise I'm going to land a submission. I think that's what happens a lot. And I think you'll probably see that again in this one.
This is interesting as well because you are Team Strom.
Team Strom.
And he is Team Combat, Matt. Fuel.
So I've got all the respect in the world for Josh. Obviously, he's a great bloke, great grappler, but Combat Fuel are getting it.
100%.
100%.
And if you were
to cut that bit out just in case. We'll edit that backwards just in case.
And if you were to pick a winner, it'd obviously be obvious.
I don't want to be biased and everything. I'm going to go straight down the line and say I'm going to win this one.
It's fair, isn't it? It's fair. Have you got a message for Josh?
No, not for Josh. I like combat Josh. Fuel. Yeah, combat fuel. I'm coming for you.
I think it'd be close. It'd be close. I think if Josh can pass your guard, which is very hard to pass, I think you'd start to get a lot of trouble.
I agree.
If it's chest to chest, if he's getting the pressure around the neck, but you have got the longest legs, and you are very hard to pass. I mean, we've rolled before, and like it's very hard for me. But very interesting as well. So I'm going to go with Josh for this one.
I knew you would.
Just because I don't like you.
Just because he hurt your leg.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt my other leg. That's all. We've established that you think you can bat Josh.
That is absolute speculation. And I know everything's going to be cut in at this point, so anything I say is irrelevant.
But, like, you've got the jiu-jitsu to give him a hard time. Like, what do you think of Strom's jiu-jitsu? Do you think he could...
Strom's brilliant. Excellent jiu-jitsu. Great personality.
And that's just you looking to get more from your sponsorship?
Yeah, me too. I've got a great personality. I can't say anything bad now, can I? I've probably already fucked it.
So, following on from this again... Mark Hibbard versus Moshalani. And this isn't announced yet. So by the time this comes out, it should be announced.
Yep, we're announcing it right now.
And they fought to a draw on a show in Wales, didn't they?
Yes.
This was about last year.
Yeah. From looking into it, I think both of them were quite disappointed with it. So I can see why they wanted to run it back. Mm. Again, you got two good wrestlers. Mush has got brilliant wrestling, very tight. Just classic wrestling, yeah, great guy. And then you've got Mark Hibbard with the absolute brute force strength wrestling. He's just like a wild animal. So, yeah, it's going to make for another great great stand-up battle, I imagine.
And with the wrestling, as you probably saw in Grapplefest, I never saw the match, but he fought Brad Boyden, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And how did that go for him? Because I don't think he could get him down.
He couldn't. Both of them struggled a bit. But again, Brad Boyden, training with good wrestlers over at Renegade, Tom Breeze and all them, he's putting in the hours. So it's not to knock Mark Hibbard for not being able to get him down. Again, you saw a classic match, two very good guys on their feet trying to get each other down. Mark Hibbard, for one, obviously he always comes out topless. It's his thing. The guy's built like a superhero. I think the sweatier he gets, the harder it's going to be to get him down. Mm. So I'd imagine if you're going to try and wrestle him, you want to move fast, you want to get him early. Easier said than done, obviously.
With his opponent as well, he's also a Cage Warriors fighter as well. He's actually got a fight this weekend.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so he's fighting this weekend. And that'll play a factor as well, I think. Having, like, the MMA guys are a bit tougher.
Yeah.
Don't back down, really good at scrambles.
Yeah, so there is a tendency with the jiu-jitsu guys to accept a bottom position eventually. Mm. You know, if you can convince them to go down, they'll go down and they'll play a guard. You don't see that in the MMA guys. You won't see that out of Mush neither. I know he's been long-term wrestling partners with the ASW lads up in Manchester. He's going to have a strong pedigree of getting on top, staying on top. If you get him down, you can guarantee he's going to come straight back up.
There's also no doubt that both of these can submit from the bottom.
Oh, 100%.
No, you can't be at that level and just be a top player. So I think in their match, I saw a picture of Mark on the bottom as well.
Yeah.
And again, using that weight, you can use it from the bottom.
Of course, again, yeah. Of course, again, the Mark isn't just a massive bloke. He's super dynamic, explosive.
Technical.
For a guy that size, moves horrendously fast. So yeah, you can imagine you get him down, he's going to be coming back up. Yeah, I've seen him with Kimuras before, with just absolutely ripping limbs off. So,
yeah. And since last year, he's on a tear, isn't he? He's just won the Grapplefest British title as well.
Yeah.
He won twice on Grapplefest this year.
This year, yeah, possibly.
Since last year in July, sometime.
Yeah, he must have 3 wins on Grapplefest by now.
So got a bit more momentum in terms of like
the incredible win, brown belt. British in the gi against a really good guy in the final. Oh, that was me. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, he beat me in the final of the British gi.
He beat me before in the purple belt as well.
He must be good then, this guy. He must be really
good. He must, if he beat both of us, he must be insane.
Phenomenal. No, yeah, real and nice guy as well.
It's also a match that you were interested in as well.
It's without a doubt the match I want the most, respectfully as well. I'm not calling him out. Well, no, I am kind of calling him out. I'm not talking shit about him. But and it's more for, you know, you're going to get a good scrap. Like, this guy's not going to back down. And he looks like a freak. He's just an absolute freak of nature. So, like, why wouldn't you want that match? Like, that's the match, respectfully, that's the match I want most out of anyone.
Well, hopefully, if you both win your matches, I think a title's on the line.
Yeah.
Under 100.
I'm game.
Grapple Max 2.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd mean I have to come back down in weight as well.
Yeah, you got to diet a bit more. How do you think this goes? Who's your...
I favour Mark. Physicality, he's... As you said, he's getting better and better. He's building in confidence. Each win is going to convince him more and more that he's as good as he is, more importantly. I think he's going to come in with a lot of confidence. I think he's going to do what it takes.
I think I'd have to agree with you as well. I think, Mush is no mug. He's a proper guy. He's, really good grappler, really good wrestler. But I think Mark Hibbard's got the momentum coming into this, and I think he just takes him. I think from the last fight as well, I know they fought before, that draw is going to be in both of their heads. So you're going to see a lot more action, a lot more taking risks and stuff. And hopefully one of them's got, the other's number. But yeah. You never know, can you?
Well, luckily the last time they fought, it was, if it goes the distance, it's a draw. This time, the 3-round setup, it's going to push them to be winning those rounds, doing something to make a difference. It's going to make for
again another super talented fight as well. I think the ones we talked about already, they just get better and better and better, more interesting as well. I think we've done a good job in getting these fights not just win, easy win. It's going to be like, right, you're a wrestler, right, we're going to put you against this really good guard player. Have the stylistic matchup. I think that's the main aspect into having a good show, having like a good exciting match, rather than like quick finishes and you can tell the matchmaking's not been done properly. But as we move on, Aidan Woodley versus Sandro. I'm not going to pronounce his second name. But this is another good match as well.
Yeah, exciting match.
Sandro is, I believe, an MMA fighter.
He's MMA.
He wrestles as well.
Very good wrestling. Yeah, very good wrestler. Very good top pressure.
And you fought Aidan Woodley before, is that right?
I fought Aidan Woodley before, yeah. Absolute gentleman of a bloke. Aidan's the kind of guy, he's framed. This is over 100 kilograms, isn't it, this one?
This would be over, yeah.
Over 100 kilograms. I think both guys have done under 100 kilograms before. Aidan's the kind of guy that's got the frame that could be 150 kilograms. This guy is just huge. So why he was ever cut into under 100, I don't know. Think he's going to fill out. I'm sure I've trained with him not long ago. I'm sure he said he was 115. Wow. And he doesn't look that big. That's the thing. He's one of these guys who could just be a freak.
I think the thing is with both of these guys as well, they could make under 100. So not necessarily big for the weight class, but
yeah,
they're big for super heavy as well.
Well, yeah, I think when you see these two guys stood next to each other, you'd start thinking, why would you make them go under 100? They're both massive, just freaks.
And it is exciting as well, because I'm sure that Sandra's just going to be on top. Pressure, pass the guard.
Yeah, so I'm very interested. I think it's very obvious what Sandra's going to come out and do, or try and do. I'm very interested to see how Aidan prepares for him. Aidan's got a very tricky game, very well-rounded. He has got good wrestling himself, very good takedowns. He's also got very good guard passing. Very nice darces from everywhere. The guy can darce people from anywhere.
And do you believe his guard game can stop Sandro from doing what he wants to do?
Yeah, I believe he's more than dangerous to submit him from anywhere. Very dangerous submission hunter, Aidan. So yeah, he's gonna make for a good scrap for sure.
Definitely. And what would be your pick for this?
I'm gonna go with Aidan. I think. He'll find a submission. I think Sandro's going to be a nightmare for a while. But it wouldn't surprise me if Aidan finds a way to catch him, probably from the bottom.
Yeah, I think going on the other side, I think Sandro, again, high-level wrestler, strong guy. You can tell with the MMA as well, he's used to those scrambles. I think if he gets on top as well, with a lot of these ultra heavyweights, super heavyweights, as you know, as soon as they pass the side, that's pretty much the game over. Whoever's on top wins with a lot of these fights, unless you're obviously really elusive on your guard and playing your leg locks and stuff. But I'm going to have to go with Sandra for this one. I think, yeah, exciting match as well.
Yeah.
And now going on to the last one, the fight that a lot of people are excited about. And when we announced this, we got some crazy engagement as well. Lloyd Cooper versus Ricky Bellingham.
Huge. The return of Lloyd Cooper, massive.
Now, for those that don't know, Ricky Bellingham's also black belt himself, high level. Again, I think he's got golds at Euros. I think he's got like the British golds as well. Very high level match.
Yep.
But is he at the level of Lloyd Cooper?
So, I mean, he's definitely going to come in unbelievable shape, as he always is. Obviously, military man, he's going to be strong mindset. He's going to be very hard to convince that he's beaten. So he's got all the tools there to do it. He's going to have to be very careful. Anybody up against Lloyd Cooper is going to have to be really careful. But it could be achieved. However, obviously, on the other side, you've got Lloyd Cooper, who's possibly the most, you know, the most dangerous submission hunter in the country. Unbelievably talented in all areas as well. And it does make you laugh because I've trained with him myself and everybody sees him as a leg locker, but this guy's good in every position, dangerous in every position.
And I think these are the same height as well. I know sometimes that plays into a fact. If someone's shorter, leg locking is going to be harder unless you put them on the back.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think a lot of it as well is to do with if Ricky can get past Lloyd and stop him from playing his game. Because as soon as you're on your back and that leg lock's coming in,
yeah,
very hard to get out of, isn't it?
So I mean, you get past the guard, you're going to be relatively safe. That being said, the amount of times I've seen Lloyd Cooper in bottom side control, you know, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. Unbelievable guard. Not unachievable, though. I think Ricky is going to have to stay away from him. I imagine Lloyd's going to pull straight away. He's going to have to stay away, keep his legs very far away. You're probably going to see a lot of loose passing. You can't risk coming in for any form of tight pass against Lloyd. He's going to have to stay on the outside. But if he can get a handle of him, yeah, and get past the legs.
I think you've got to be smart at the start, haven't you?
Yeah.
Super smart at the start, but when it's time to go, you've got to, like, if you see that side control or north-south, you've got to just jump on it, man, because as soon as you get that leg in,
well,
I think it's very difficult to get out of.
So Lloyd's made a career of leg locking, and everybody knows what's coming when you compete against Lloyd. He's going to sit to guard, he's going to try and leg lock it, yet still does it against the highest calibre guys in the country. So this goes to show that there's people that are out there studying him, breaking down his game, figuring out a way to get past and still can't achieve it. So that's it's going to be a mammoth task in front of him, but it can 100% be achieved.
And in terms of both of them are from really popular gyms as well. I know you've got the British Army with Ricky and Lloyd Cooper with his Gripper Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
So it'd be a really good, exciting match with a lot of fans as well. Do you think Ricky is the underdog?
I think he's the underdog.
By a lot, or
not as much as people would think. I don't think it's as much as people would think. It's winnable. It's a winnable match for him. But he's going to go in as the underdog, just again because everybody knows how,
because of the name value, yeah,
Lloyd is.
And when this match was given to them both, they were both game as well, excited for it.
As I said, to be fair, both of them, their mindsets are strong. They're both competitors. You can see it in Lloyd that it didn't take much convincing to get him out of retirement. No. You know, he's the kind of guy that says he's going to retire.
Once he's excited,
he's got a healthy body, he's like, actually, you know what? No, I want to get out there and get a good match in.
And he was speaking to Strom as well about his problems and stuff. And luckily, Strom, with his expertise, was able to help. And so that's a big help with it as well, having him healthy and stuff. And I think you'll see the best version of him when he's trained and ready to go. Now, who do you think would take that?
I'm going to back Lloyd for obvious reasons. Fellow leg locker. I think he's, as I said before, so many people have tried to figure out how to beat him and just come up short every time. And I feel like this one's going to be similar.
I think I'm going to take a gamble. I think Ricky could pull it off. I think he's got a lot more momentum as well in terms of competing. But coming into the underdog, I think he's more hungry for it as well. He definitely wants to take the win. And, well, what a win it will be as well.
Yeah, it'll be incredible.
And, yeah, so loads more matches we've got lined up. I know we've got some female fights to announce as well. We've also got some exciting prelims. You know, local guys, some of your guys. I think we've got one of your blue belts, I think he is.
Yeah, Big Aaron.
Big Aaron.
Yeah, possibly the biggest guy on the planet.
And he's fighting another guy, apart from Azza. He's fighting another guy that is, I think, 125 kilo.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to release this. I don't know if he likes me talking about it, but I know Aaron is over 135 at the minute.
Yeah.
And a bloody nightmare to move in guard.
Definitely so, going to need more mat space for that one.
He's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big guy.
So tickets are still available online. You can check the link in our bio on Instagram. All VIP, soon to sell out. So if you're gonna buy them quick. Other than that, we can't wait to see you on July 20th.
Oos.
Oos.